prior to that, we got talking about that God has made us his very best friends. It's a common theme we run into, because being made righteous, being justified legally, having God make us his best friends is such a, it is the bedrock of our covenant. It is the foundation of the blood oath that we stand in with God. And so knowing, having a very grounded, realistic, practical, simple mindset of that is so key. So we want to make sure we are aware of it, and God is he's helping us stay continually aware of it and have an awareness, having a consciousness, having a mindset of these things is critical. That way that everything you see and filters in comes through that filter of, man, God's made me his best friend. And hey, I've made him my best friend. And he's spoken to me, and I believe it. And he's got something to say in his covenant that he will back up with his authority and with his power about anything I'll come against in my life, or may face in my life, or run up against in my life, or need to figure out in my life. He's got something that he's already set aside and decided on, and that he wants to show it to me and say it to me. Amen. Because God's a best friend. He's our best friend. Of course he'll share with you his insight in the matter. Of course he'll share with you his plan for your future. Of course he'll share with you what to do about things you're facing in your life. He's your best friend. Of course he will. So, we want to take a look tonight and review real quickly about last week, you know, from last week, and we want to get into tonight, and we want to do it simply and easily. Listen, again, thanks for being here. It's an honor. So last week we were talking about that you don't have to be controlled by any of these things of sin. Now, what's sin again? Broken covenant. Things that don't agree with our conscience. Our insides, you know, the things that just, especially as someone who is gone all in with God and is now in the blood covenant with him, the blood covenant, the new covenant in Jesus' blood. It's been sworn in a man's blood who's perfect, and that's the covenant that we're in. Down in your heart, in your conscience, man, some things just, they just don't sit right with you. And you find some of these things being continually pushed on you to keep doing, whether it's anger, temper, spending, addiction, appetites, you know, whatever it may be, lying, whatever it may be. You're feeling pressured. Well, that pressure comes from your enemy, Satan, the devil. Because what's he trying to do? He's trying to find something he can use on you to pressure you to cooperate with him, not with God, your best friend, that he can make you feel condemned about. And that's what we talked about two sessions ago, that you are free from condemnation. Well, last session we began to address the subject of shutting that door of where that condemnation may be getting in. And then that condemnation tries to get into areas where we're tempted in, pressured in. We think tempted, we think of Adam and Eve and the apple, or the fruit. We don't really know if it was an apple. Artists made it an apple. I don't know why. Could have easily been a grape or a kumquat or a mango. Never been tempted by an apple personally, but it wasn't the fruit. It was the command given about it. Don't eat from this tree. And then Satan twisted it. He said, did God really say to not? Can you see what another area where pressure gets in and that we end up capitulating and going with it by excuses and confusion? Excuses and confusion. Well, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace. And listen, you can't be both. You're either a sinner in need of grace, or you've received grace and you are now made his best friend. In which case, there's a whole set of new rules that apply to you. I don't mean new rules against you, new rules in your favor. You don't have to go with what the enemy of your soul is trying to force you to do. You don't have to be pushed around by anything anymore in your life or made to feel guilty just because the thought came back to you. Listen, being tempted, being pressured is not a sin. Jesus was tempted and thoroughly, more than we could ever imagine as human beings. Now, he was a human, tempted as a man, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, according to the book of Hebrews. And he didn't give in. But it said that he resisted in his flesh to the point where he bled out of his sweat pores. But notice this. When something pushed him around, he pushed back. He said, no. You don't have to be controlled by anything anymore. When I say be controlled, doesn't God control us now as believers? No, he's giving you your free will to follow him or not, but it's your choice. Amen. Now that's a whole other subject for another time, but no. I'm not controlled by God. He tells me what to do, and I obey. But the obedience is willing. Notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 19, it said, if you be willing and obedient. I'm not just some mindless robot obeying God. I am a robot. No. I'm willing and obedient. Willing's the heart. Obedience is the action. You know, if you've been around kids or if you remember the way you were as a kid, or maybe you still are like this as an adult. Hey, listen, we've all been there, so don't. No judgment. Someone tells you to do something, like, yeah, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to like it. Well, that's meaning that you're not willing. No, with God, he's our best friend. But he's also our boss. And when the boss says do, I've already decided I do. And I make up my mind each time, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. Listen, I give. I'm a giver. And I give. And I can sense that, you know, at certain times, I want to make sure my heart is always in the posture of being excited to give. Excited to give. I know we give out opportunities to give into this ministry, but I also want you to hear, man, we are giving. We give. Not just the ministry, me personally. I'm a giver. And when I give, I'm listening to what God would want me to do about it. Well, I'm not when he lets me know where to put it, who to give something to, I don't let myself your flesh, your appetites, your old unredeemed self is still in existence. And those are the things we need to rein in and keep a tight control on. So if you have a thought of, man, I don't want to do that. And that thought is about something that God's showing you to do, leading you to do, telling you to do. You stop right then and there. That's just a feeling. That is just a feeling. That's a great jumping off place for us to talk about tonight. That's just a feeling. You can change that feeling. Mark this down. Hear ye, put it on the record. Feelings can be changed. And they're changed by a decision. I decide right then and there, no. I'm not reluctant to give. I decide I'm excited to give. Sir, that's what you want me to do? Then I'm excited about it. I'm not just excited to get the reward from the giving. You know, when God takes it, multiplies it, and causes it to come back to me, I'm excited about the giving. I'm excited to give. I call it sowing or planting. But either one of the three words is right. Sowing, planting, giving. I'm excited about it. Now, do you really feel excitement? Sometimes no. Many times no. But I don't let myself stay that way. I decide to be excited. And you know what? After making that decision and say, yeah, Lord, thank you, I decide I'm excited about it. It makes me think of Bill Murray. Bill Murray, the actor in Ghostbusters. They tell him the plan, we cross the streams. And they look around and go, you told us crossing the streams was bad. And they said, what could happen? Total protonic reversal. And they all look around at each other. And Bill Murray smacks the face of his buddy next to him. He goes, I'm excited about this plan. I'm glad to be a part of it. Let's do it. He didn't feel excited, but he decided to be excited about it. Listen, you can decide to be excited. You can decide to change how you feel. That's a great thing about being tempted, having addictions, having bad habits that you want to get rid of. Guilt and shame and condemnation is just eating your lunch over. You can make a decision about it. We got into it a little bit last week. We're going to pick up there this week. Listen, God gives us a way out of every temptation that comes against us. And he's faithful. And let's get rid of the lie that we talked about last week, that he won't put more on you than you can stand. You can't be faithful and loyal to someone and put something negative on them to test them. That's not being a faithful friend. That's awful. It's preposterous. You got to go to church somewhere to believe something that religiously stupid. Let me just be frank about it. But if you're watching us, I know you appreciate blunt, straight, honest talk like I do. Simple. Keep it simple. So, no, he's faithful. He shows you a way out. He helps you come out of it. He helps you get through it. And your power of choice, your say-so, your decision in the outcome is how you begin to change things. I was walking up the stairs in my house. Now, you need to understand, if under pressure at this time, this was 2012, a few weeks after July the 7th, 2012. And I had made a decision to live by faith all the days of my life. Really, that decision was, it's, you know, on the first page of the book of Romans and in the New Testament, first page of the New Testament, the letters being preached after the Gospels. And so, that's my decision. I was all in all the time, man. And my loyalty, my commitment was 100%. And God spoke to me. Because at the time, under pressure to protect myself, oh, man, I'd lie like a dog. But many years prior, I was in a position. Now, it wasn't like I had been years prior. And I'd lie for fun just to get away with it. Especially if it meant me avoiding trouble or someone being angry with me. But this time, you know, and this is how it would show up. Very insidious. You might say, well, that's a little white. A lie is a lie, and it's poison. Anything false is like a wall between you and God. And I had just read a couple days prior in the 119th Psalm, it said, remove from me the way of lying. Notice he didn't just say lying. He said the way of lying. Lying is a lifestyle. And we can lie to ourselves just as much as we lie to other people. Oh, yeah. And we begin to tell ourselves things and we deceive ourselves. And we'll fight for that lie more than we will for the truth. So anyway, I digress. I'm walking up the stairs in our house in Texas. And I hear the Lord speak to me, not out here, not like a voice. Down in my inner self, and it's just as clear, if not clearer, than if it had been, you know, an audible voice or anything like that. But down in my heart, down in my inner radio, down in my spirit, he said, if you want to live by faith, you need to stop the lying. Ooh. I said, okay. Well, in my mind, yeah, absolutely. Then decision made, of course. That's what we're going to do. And I said, how do I do that? He said, you make a decision. And the way he said it, in my heart, I could see the example that he showed me was taking me back to deciding to live by faith. I said, I decide to live by faith all the days of my life. I said, oh, to do it the same way. Got it. I said, I decide that I'm done with lying all the days of my life. Did I feel like I could do it? No, I didn't feel like I could do it at all. But I decided to do it. And by his help and by his grace, he has helped me ever since. And I'll tell you this much, you only have to go apologize for telling a lie and stopping yourself among friends or somebody else or spouse or whatever. I'm not embarrassing myself. I'm embarrassing that lying habit. And from that day to this, we don't tolerate lies. I don't tolerate lies in my house. I don't tolerate lies in my mouth. I don't tolerate lies in myself. Whew. Amen. Why are we bringing that up? To show you, you don't have to let something control you, and you change by a decision. Amen. We can resist it. We can push back against it. Amen. Well, we ended last week talking about this, that Jesus proved that with his help, we can beat anything tempting us or pressuring us, that we resist, we push back, we say no, instead of yield. Now remember, this is important. We're not doing this absent of God's help. We're doing this with his help. We're doing this with his grace. His grace is his help. It's him treating us as he treats Jesus. If Jesus needs strength in his body to complete a task, especially when he was on the earth, he gets it from his Father. If he needs an idea, he gets that from his Father. If he needs finances, he gets that from his Father. If he needed bread and fish multiplied, he got that from his Father. What do you mean, got it? He received it, and God's power made it happen. It's just as much God's power to give you an idea about getting out of debt or how to pay for your schooling as it is to his strength and his power to help you decide that you're done with an addiction, that you're done with depression. Oh, yeah. His power goes to work in your life. Amen. Now, first of all, we got to review a couple things that he said in the blood covenant. Number one, let's go over to Romans chapter 6. Because you've got to hear some things that put confidence in you. It's not just hearing things like general things, like, you know, I'm not going to read you the stats off the back of a baseball card. You know what I mean? I'm not going to read you the Thursday night highlight scores and stats from an NFL football game. I mean, you're going to hear something that God has said to you in written form through his covenant. This is a written message from him to you, but the written message is just as lively and just as powerful as it is if he spoke it to you personally. Amen. He says this in the sixth chapter of sixth chapter of Romans. Thank you very much. John, the sixth chapter, verse 22, it says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God." If you believe that Jesus is your boss, your Lord, and you've decided to accept his hand of friendship and you've gone all in all the time with him, you are now what is called in the scriptures born again. It's a second birth. You're regenerated. You are a creation that has never existed before. All old things, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, all old things are passed away and all things are become new. You're fresh and you're clean. And you're a new person. Amen. Now, sure, you still live in your old body. And you even still have your old mind. Still tries to talk you out of it. But you're a new person inside. Well, it's coming a day soon. Our time is drawing short on this planet. If you've been watching the news at all. Our time is drawing short. And our mind and our bodies are about to be completely new. But right now, we still have our old bodies and minds to deal with. That's not a woe is me, terrible thing. It's just reality. That's okay. They'll bend. They'll bend to our will. Mind and body will get in line. Amen. But I want you to hear this. You are free from sin. But you may look at your life like, Brother Duke, my life is full of sin. I got it. But legally, and in record, and in the covenant, you're free from sin. So the effect of it and the existence of it may be still present in your life. But we decide that we believe that we're free from it before we see it or before we feel it. Amen. Yeah, that's good news, right? We're free from it. That means anything pushing down on you, any addiction, any form of depression, you're free from it legally. Well, then how do we get it from being legal to actually enjoying it? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Go over to Colossians chapter 1, C-O-L 1. If you're in your Takarta Bible app, C-O-L. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. If you're in your hard copy Bible, it's right after Philippians. And I think it's right before, right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, talking about our Father, God, our best friend. It says, who hath, or has, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness and has. So this has already happened. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. One translation says into the kingdom of the son of his love. Why in the kingdom of, what does all that mean? It's in the kingdom where we are treated like his firstborn son is treated. See, Jesus is no longer the only begotten. He's now the first begotten. And you and I have available to us every privilege, every gift. It's the joint inheritance that we share with our master, with Jesus, our elder brother and best friend. So we get treated like he gets treated. I don't believe that at all. That's what grace is. He earned it. We're given it. We get to enjoy it just because we believe in him. And just because we're joined to him. And just because we've made him our boss, our Lord, and said so, we get to enjoy it. Oh, man, isn't that good? Well, look at what he said in the first part. Who has delivered us from the power, from the authority, and from... Now, you need to see it like this. When he says power, he means the strong binding hold of darkness. In that word, darkness includes every word, every form of addiction. It includes all depression, madness. It includes anything pressing upon you, any sinful habit that you've developed that you want to be free from. Now listen, we're not singling anything out that we're preaching against it. And people are like, well, he's telling me to stop smoking. Listen, man, if God's not dealing with you about smoking, then don't worry about it. But there may be people who are like, man, this thing just runs my life. I've got to get rid of this thing. I've got to get free of this thing. And you can tell it's trying to control you. I've had things like that. Man, I've had addictions run amok in my life and just absolutely try to destroy me. Absolutely. I don't share very much publicly what they were in detail for this reason. People go in to start making the comparison game. Well, that's not real. Or they, well, mine's not as bad as his, you know, things like that. It doesn't matter. It had a hook in me, and it was steering me like I had reins in my mouth. You understand what I mean? Like horse reins. I needed help. Well, one of the first things I needed to see was, I'm free from that. I'm free from sin, and I'm delivered. I'm rescued out of the power of darkness. Darkness has no more control over you. Well, so what do we do with that? Well, we're going to get into it. Thank you, Lord. To enjoy your freedom that Jesus has given you, you need two things. You need grace and you need faith. But you know what? Before we get into talking about grace and faith, yeah, we're going to do this the Lord's way. You know, I sense him, in just to explain what's going on, why I took that pause, I sense him taking me another direction. Don't break up the flow. We're on a roll. Let's stay with it. Number one, we need to do this. So we'll get back with the faith in God, and we'll get back with the faith and grace thing. But first of all, you need to hear this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Make a note of it, 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God, that's you and me, we're new creations, born again, overcomes the world. Another word for overcome means enjoys victory over, conquers, triumphs, wins. When he says the world, does he mean this rock we live on? You know, this planet? No, he means the societal system that we're in. Anything in it, any addiction, any depression, any bad habit. How about this? Any habit of the emotions, any habit of the mind. Maybe you're so used to flying off the handle and you catch yourself after and you're just absolutely devastated about how angry you got. Maybe you're a jump to conclusions person, and that you find yourself getting angry about things before you've even let the Lord talk to you about it yet and show you the real truth, and you're embarrassed by it. Whatever it may be. We're not singling anything out, but we're also wanting you to not let yourself off the hook. You can't hide and justify, like, oh, I don't have any problem. And you know your conscience is eating you up, and you know what we're talking about. He said, any whatsoever is born of God overcomes, enjoys victory, wins over the world system. And he says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. Is it just a general faith? Well, I just believe. I just believe. No, it's talking about faith in God, confidence in God, confidence that we get from hearing what he said, and then we place it in him to help us. Hallelujah. We don't place faith in God to go about our lives and then make it happen ourselves. We place faith in God for his supernatural, divine, miracle-working power help. Amen. I'm trusting him to do things for me that he's promised to do for me that I can't do myself. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Listen, we've already showed you two main scriptures. Colossians 1:13, Romans 6:22. That you're free. You are free from sin, and you are free from all darkness. Yeah, I mean that depression that's plagued your life. You're free from it. But it's still here, and it's still bothering me. Oh, hey, listen, I know the effects are still there. But legally, on paper, in blood covenant, you're free. Which means now by knowing that, there's decisions to be made. Oh, you know what it's doing also? It's giving you back your rightful say-so in the outcome of your life. Depression can't hijack your life anymore. Addiction can't hijack your life anymore. Sinful bad habits can't hijack your life anymore. You have a say-so in the outcome of your life and your destiny. Amen. Now, glory to God. I want you to see something. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10. Joel 3:10. Now, I can find it super easy with my Takata Bible app. I just hit J-O-E, Joey. But I'm going to attempt to find it in my paper Bible. I got it. My hard copy Bible. It says this, one simple phrase at the end of the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Oh, man. When it says weak, you maybe think, well, I'm not tired right now. That word weak also means deficient. It also means failing. Isn't that something? But notice what it has the weak do. Is to begin to say what he is by being in blood covenant with God, before he feels it or sees the results. He's telling the weak, see, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10, it says this, fear not, for I'm with you. Talking, and this is the God speaking through the prophet to his people. But it's God's voice saying it. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, or don't lose heart and lose courage by what you see around you. I'm your God. He says, I will strengthen you. Now, when he says, I will, it means from this moment forward, my strength is yours. That's the way it's properly said. It actually, he speaks it in a way as though it was from the past and is now permanent and present. It's amazing. English really begins to, the way it should sound is this, I strengthen you. Does that mean now or yesterday? Yes, it's past, present, and future. His strength is now ours, our strength. He said, I'll help you in the King James, but really it should sound like this, helping you I am. Ooh, I mean, then that means I have his help. So what does he tell the weak to do? The failing, the deficient, the falling short, to say, I'm strong. Notice, not say I'm weak. I'm just so weak. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to this. Now listen, that's the way you've been. But in blood and covenant, you're free. In legal covenant, binding, permanent blood covenant, God has made you free. So what would the failing say? And we're going to talk about why we need to say it. Well, I need to say I'm free. Man, I'm just so dark and just so sad. Man, it just seems like all the light's gone out of my life. What do I say? I say I'm full of joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So what would the sad and the down say? The Lord's joy is mine. And that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you see the principle he's saying here? In order to have God's help and power go to work, we need to begin to say what we are in our blood covenant. Not say what we are in our feelings or say what we are in our present facts. Listen, we're not denying that depression may be there. We're not denying that addiction may be there. We're not denying that a sin habit of some sort is present. No, we're taking it straight on. And that our way of combating it is that we decide that we're free from it and we say we're free from it. If you've been just absolutely crushed and bound by something for years, months, week, whatever, but it's controlling you and you know it, and you're like, this isn't right, and it bothers me no end, then you say out of your mouth, just like the weak say that we're strong, we say, I'm free. I am free from darkness. I am free from all the power of darkness. And hey, listen, don't confine it. Say it with me now. And make the decision before you say it too, right here. Let's decide together and say Colossians 1:13 like this. Say, I am free from all darkness. Let's not confine it to just one thing. I'm free from darkness. I'm free from darkness in my life. Say it with me. I'm free from every addiction. I'm free from sin. And I'm free from sadness and depression. So what do? When some of that old junk comes and you go, here it comes again. You don't just go with it. You're like, here it comes. I'm going to be down for the count for 3 or 4 days and get my meds. Listen, we're not making fun of meds. Meds have kept a lot of good people alive so they can allow God to help them. Amen. Thank God for good medication and for help. Like I said, it's kept a lot of people alive. Now, when you see it rolling back in And you think it, and in time past, when that addiction or whatever it may be, that thing pushing on you just came sweeping in and sweeping over you, and you felt like you had no say or no choice in your next actions, you say no. You push back. You decide down in here, I'm resisting you. I am free from you. Let the weak say, I'm strong. We got to say something else about ourselves. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 4. And let's see something, a principle here that God brings out. We're still talking about being free from sin. We've got a part to play. You know, a lot of times I've heard, I've been there too. I've prayed the same prayer. God, take this from me. God, take this thing away from me. God, take this thing out of me. He already had. I wasn't paying attention to what I had in my covenant. And I wasn't doing my part to cooperate with how to enjoy it. He's already made me free from sin. Well, now I also needed to say, right in the face of that addiction, thank you, God, I'm free from this addiction. I heard a story about a man who just absolutely he was a several pack a day smoker. And he came to a man of God for help and just said, I just can't stop smoking. Well, he believes in his heart that he's completely addicted to smoking. So he's locked up in it. And what the man of God told him says, here's what I want you to do. Based upon what you've heard us talk about today, being free. Every time you open a pack of cigarettes, I want you to stop and say, thank you, God, I'm delivered from smoking. I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said, when I'm opening the pack, he said, when you're opening the pack, you're unwrapping that pack, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. You pop one out after you pack them down, you pop one out, put it in the corner of your mouth, and right before you light it up, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. You light it up, take a drag, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said, say it with me. And the guy's like, thank you, what? Thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He goes, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said, while I'm smoking, while you're smoking, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said, I wasn't going to do it. He came back later and said, I thought you were crazy. He said, but the thought kept coming back. It was the Holy Spirit helping him. The thought kept coming back. You tried everything else. Was it hurt? Well, he'd light up, take a drag. Thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. This went on for several weeks. But each time, and he said, and he noticed it got easier as he went. He'd be like, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. And he'd finish his cigarette, stub it out. Get another one out of the pack. Thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. Put it in his mouth. Thank you, God, I'm delivered. You know, and he wasn't just parroting it. He means it. And he said, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said he was standing on a street corner, and he's putting a cigarette in his mouth. He's about to light it up, and he said, thank you, God, I'm delivered from cigarettes. He said something hit him. He said, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I'm done. And he threw it down, and he never had another problem with it. What was happening? He's beginning to agree with the freedom that he already had. And he's legally stating that he's free. And, key point, he's sticking with it. The book of James in the third chapter talks about that our mouths are like words in our mouths are like bits that we put in a horse's mouth or like a wheel on a great ship that you can apply pressure and turn that thing around, turn that horse around, turn that boat around. You can turn it around. Well, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody ride a horse. Sometimes you can make a tight turn. Sometimes you can make a very slow loping turn. You turn a big ship, buddy, you're not doing that, you know, turn on a dime and, you know, make a 180. It takes a little bit. You got to turn that thing. You got to turn it around. But you got to stick with it. You can't just let go of the wheel mid-turn. You're going to go back straight again. You turn it. And you keep on cranking that turn until you see you're in the direction you want to go in. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, when God gives us something, it's by grace. He's giving us a gift and treating us as he treats Jesus. He has given us our freedom. He has given us his help. We need to put our confidence in that grace and accept it. What God gives to us, we have to accept it and receive it. It's sometimes a joke, true story, and a joke at the same time. We tell it humorously between me and some of my close friends about we're very generous to one another and we give things back and forth, and they like to use my statement, which is this: would you make me happy and let me give this to you? Well, they know they're we all know that we're going to make the other person happy by accepting this gift. Amen. And we're also going to know we're going to make them unhappy if we don't take it. Like, they want to do this. Okay, if it makes you happy, I'll take it. Listen, you're making God happy when you accept what he's given you. Amen. Well, we're in Romans chapter 4. Look at this in verse 17. He's talking about Abraham. And I don't have time to go all into it, but I want you to see at the end, talking about God who quickens, that it makes alive the dead, that he calls those things which be not as though they were. This will work for anything. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, that whosoever would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but will believe one very simple thing, that what he says will come to pass. Jesus goes on to say this: he will have whatsoever he says. People say, I don't believe that, but it's going on in their life all the time. I just can't seem to get ahead. I can't win for losing. Man, and they just badmouth things left and right in their life, and they get exactly what they say. Now, what Jesus is saying is, hey, take that principle, and instead of having it work against you, get it working for you. And here's how you do it. Well, it says about God that he calls those things that be not as though they were. Case in point. Exhibit A, Genesis chapter 1, light be. And light was. Notice what he didn't say. Wow, it's dark. I mean, like, it's real dark. Like, whoa, dude, it's dark. It would have stayed dark forever. So did he say, wow, it's dark, I got to start talking some light? No, he called those things that be not as though they were. Light is, and light was. Amen. Listen, this is how he operates. And it's just this simple and just this full of power in our life. Let the weak say that they're strong. Let the addicted say that they're free. Let the depressed say they're delivered. Man, I'm free from depression. I'm free from frustration and anger. I didn't say you wouldn't feel it. I'm saying its days of controlling you are over. Amen. Well, amen. I want you to see something from the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And we're getting ready to close. Revelation 13. We mentioned it last week, but we're going to take a look at it this week. Why are we putting so much emphasis on what we say? Because God says for each of us individually, the choice of trust in our heart must be expressed with the words of our mouth. Now get that down. The choice of trust in our heart must be expressed with the words of our mouth. Do you know why? our words are legal in our life. Jesus said this: by a man's words he is justified, or by a man's words he is condemned. He's putting the responsibility of results and outcomes in our life back into our hands. God either has words from you that he can enforce with his power and cause amazing things to happen, or he has words that he has to let the devil enforce in your life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this: and they overcame him. Now, who's the him they overcame? Well, just prior to that, in verse 10, it says that the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And it goes on to say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, verse 11, and by the word of their testimony. Now, the blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus has done. His blood has paid for the grace to be in your life. That's his gifts. That's his help. That's his blood, his sacrifice. All of that's a gift to you out of love. That's God's love. And here's another word for grace, another definition for grace. It's love doing things for you. But then notice this. They overcame, they won, they conquered. Remember that? That whatsoever is born of God, that's you and me, overcomes the world. That means whatsoever is born of God overcomes sin. It overcomes addiction. It overcomes bad habits. It overcomes anything causing guilt, shame, and condemnation to just press down in your life. And then it says this: they overcame him by the blood. It means what Jesus did, delivering you from darkness. And then by the word of their testimony. So my words and his blood, his grace, and my faith. Listen, our confidence needs to be spoken. Our confidence needs to be stated. It's legal. Let me show you a scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, the same attitude, the same, you're getting me, the same way about us of faith, according as it is written, and this is quoting David in the Psalms. It says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. What's believed needs to be said. We call or we speak those things that be not as though they were. But the speaking, now this is so important, is based on what the blood covenant says. Amen. The blood covenant says we're delivered from the power of darkness. So what do you and I say? Especially when we don't feel like it. Listen, if we could see it and feel it, we wouldn't need to talk about being confident in God. God's telling us the way things are before we see it or feel it. God's telling us the way things are in truth before we can touch it and before it looks like it's real in our life. But we're saying, God, I'm confident about what you said. So right now when I feel like I'm falling apart emotionally, and right now when I feel like addiction is absolutely splitting me in two and taking over my life, I'm going to believe what you've said about me and say, I'm free. I'm free from the power of darkness. I'm free from every form of addiction. Now you put yours specifically in there. I'm free from every guilt and condemnation. There is no condemnation to me. I'm free. I'm done with lying. Amen. Whatever it may be. But you see, it'll work for any of these things. Now, Romans chapter 10. One thing we want to address as we're turning over here to Romans chapter 10. Any bad habit in your life, starved, will weaken. You got to starve it if you want to weaken it. If you find yourself getting so ate up with anger and rage, and you find yourself, that really happens a lot from watching the news, you need to turn the news off. If you find yourself unable to spend, you just can't help but spend money, and you're throwing it around, like, as the saying goes, like drunken sailors, then maybe don't go internet shopping for a while. Don't be on social media and look at accounts that are constantly showing off new stuff, which they're getting for free, constantly showing off new stuff that makes you feel like you've got to have that now. Just turn it off for a while. Don't let the habit get fed. Cut off what's feeding it. Amen. Cut off any gateway that's feeding the deeper habit. Amen. Anything that's trying to control you, if you starve it, it'll weaken. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 10. Is that where you want us to go, Lord Jesus? All right, 5 by 5. I want you to see this. Romans 10, verse 6. Now, I know this is going to be King James English, but I want you to see the principle here. The righteousness, the best friendship with God that is of faith, speaks on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. And who it shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Why? What does that mean? He's saying, you don't have to have Jesus come down from heaven or be raised again from the dead to have salvation work in your life. I don't mean just salvation as in saved from hell. I mean salvation being saved from that thing trying to bind you. Salvation from that addiction trying to destroy you. Salvation from that depression trying to control you and squeeze you. From that sin trying to control you and take charge in your life. You don't have to have him do something overt and spectacular. He's already done it. Once was enough and it was legal. Your freedom has been waiting for you this whole time. So he says, what do you do? This is verse 8. What saith it? The words of the covenant are near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith, which we're preaching to you. He says this, that if you will confess, this is verse 9 now, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll have salvation. That word salvation, you could swap out any one of the words that is defined in it, and it would be accurate. He said, and thou shalt be healed. Thou shalt be prospered. Thou shalt be rescued. Thou shalt be made whole. Thou shalt be joyful. Thou shalt be friends again. That's another translation for salvation. To be on friendly terms again. Ooh! Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? It's so important. He said, if you'll believe what he said in these words written in blood. I know they're written on ink in the paper, but I mean that he spoke them and they are sworn in his blood. And you'll decide that you believe them. You don't got to feel like they're true. They're already true. You just decide you believe it. I decide I believe. Right in the middle of your body, absolutely cavitating and shaking from an addiction or from a sin or from wanting to sin. You say, I believe that I believe that I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I'm rescued from the control and the oppression of darkness. And right in there, whatever's facing you, I decide, I believe I'm delivered. I'm rescued from the control and oppression of depression. I decide I'm rescued and set free from the controlling oppression of addiction. I decide I believe it. And he says, and you shall be saved. What does that mean? The power of God to make that reality in your life be seen and felt goes to work. Isn't that awesome? He says in verse 10, for with the heart, not with our mind, not with our feelings, with our heart, we believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you see? Your mouth plays a part in what your heart believes. And it's not just an accidental believing. You decide you believe it. I decide I believe it. And I say it with my mouth. And the power of God goes to work. Now, very key before we leave. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now, I'm thinking about those old sailors. What's that movie? Master and Commander, and one of the old sailors. He had H-O-L-D on one hand and F-A-S-T in the other hand. And that was a mindset reminder to hold fast. Don't let go of that rope and you go overboard and die. But hold fast. It means you stick with what you believe and what you've said. Hold fast to our profession of faith. I'm free. That's what we're saying, our profession. I'm delivered from this. It says, without wavering. Hold fast to the weak saying that they're strong. It says, because he's faithful that promised. He's faithful. He won't fail you. Amen. We stick with it. Listen, if we looked free and felt free, we wouldn't have to believe and say that we're free. I get that your feelings and what you see about yourself are arguing with you. That's why we're believing. It's believe first and feel second. Amen. But I want you to hear this as we go. Oh, man. And this is our ending scripture right here. 2 Thessalonians 2 THES. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. It says that God would count you worthy of this calling. We're not talking about the calling right now. But that God would also do this and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. God fulfills what your faith has believed and what your mouth has said with his power. That's the completed equation here. He says it. We decide we believe it. We say so. I may feel weak. I may look weak, but I'm strong. And his power makes it happen. His power performs it. I believe it. And he makes it reality in my life. You believe it and say it. I'm free from addiction. I'm free from depression. I'm free from every form of darkness that exists. Listen, we don't just use these principles of believing in our heart and saying with our mouth, but we're applying it towards the things that have bound us. That wasn't good English. we are applying it towards the things that have bound us. But we also apply it for all the positives too. Father, thank you. You've made me your best friend. And I've made you my best friend. Thank you that you dwell in me by your Holy Spirit. And I dwell in you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. I'm in blood covenant with you all the days of my life. I enjoy my life. I have your joy and I have your strength. We stick with saying it. And God's power enforces it in our life. His power fulfills it. Listen, it's so good to be free. Say it one more time. I'm free. Say this, my best friend who loves me has made me free. Say it, I'm free from all the power of darkness. Amen. Isn't that good? Man, God is so good to you.